This is Studio One at CBS. The Columbia Broadcasting System invites you to Studio One for the second broadcast in a new series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. We introduce the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, a comedy. Our plans for Studio One include many different kinds of drama derived from many different sources, but tonight we smile and present you with Topaz, a very remarkable gentleman indeed. His story was originally written in French nearly 20 years ago by Marcel Pagnol and comes to us in a translation by Ben Levy. But the atmosphere remains essentially French. Subtle, sardonic, often cynical, but with it all quite delicious. It need only be noted that Monsieur Topaz is a teacher at a private school for boys in a large French city, is innocent of mind and heart and relentlessly honest. However, what happens to his innocence and honesty and to Monsieur Topaz himself when he falls in with a company of rogues, one of whom, of course, is a beautiful lady, remains to be heard tonight.
From Studio One, CBS presents Topaz.
Wednesday, March 27th, 1928. That is tomorrow, boys. And tomorrow we shall have a general examination.
Oh, no.
And so, to conclude this morning's class, we will have an oral review. I will give you some questions at random, beginning with history. The completion of the Sistine Chapel with frescoes by Michelangelo was an artistic high point of the Renaissance. Quite correct, Master Blondet. Now, let us cross the ocean. A basic American document concerning independence is known as the Decla. Come, boys,
Declaration, sir?
Correct, Master Cordier. Declaration of Independence. Now, we will turn to ethics. If a man is dishonest, his conscience will express
disappointment, sir?
Not exactly, no.
Approval, sir?
Correct, Master Durand. Disapproval. So then, in order to succeed in life, we must be on. Come now, anybody? On?
On, sir!
Right. And what else, Master Tronchbean? What else must one be? Honest and
cunning, sir?
Quiet. Quiet, boys. Attention and quiet. Master Blondet, one must be honest and
cautious, sir?
No, Master Blondet, zero for both of you. One must be honest and
honest and kind, sir?
Correct. Come out. The boy talking. Master Durand, is it you?
No, sir.
Master Durand, think again. Honesty, boy, honesty.
I wasn't, sir. Wasn't me.
It wasn't I, boy, and you were talking. Ah, monsieur, you are foolish to mistake my kindness for weakness, my patience for blindness. I assure you, my friend, that the velvet glove conceals a hand of steel. You see my hand? If you resist it, it will break you. Yes. All right. Now, boys, let us consider the fortunes of virtue. Oh, good morning, headmaster.
I want a word with you before you go into lunch.
Very good, sir.
About that new boy.
Which new boy, headmaster?
The new boy you want to come here, Madame Courtois' nephew.
Oh, him?
Oh, he.
Oh, he.
Do you think he is a desirable person to have at the school?
Well, I think so. I seem to feel he had a certain mental agility.
Well, what I mean is, will he follow the complete courses?
Oh, I think so.
With extras?
Well, I don't see why not.
Fencing, modeling, drawing, Esperanto, chorus, singing, and sunbathing?
I believe so.
At 120 francs a month?
Oh, yes.
The boy sounds to me a desirable member of the school. I will do what I can for him.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Tell the lady that each day lost is important to a child of his type. He had better come here at once.
Well, I am expecting Madame Courtois after lunch, headmaster.
By the way, Topaz, here are your papers.
What papers, sir?
Your application for the degree of moral philosophy.
Have I got it?
Hmm?
Have I been awarded the degree, headmaster?
No, I'm afraid not. No.
I see. Well, perhaps another year.
Yes. Perhaps. Perhaps not. Who can say?
Who can say? Yes.
Was old Mooch pleased with you this morning?
Oh, now, Tamise, as one of his teachers, surely you know that Mooch is never pleased. But he ought to have been because I've brought him a new pupil. And a very distinguished pupil, too.
Have you indeed?
Oh, yes.
Where do you find him?
Well, it's a small boy to whom I give private lessons at his home. He lives with his aunt. Quite a young aunt, you know. She's coming to see the school this afternoon.
What's her name?
Courtois. Susie Courtois.
Married?
No, neither married, divorced, nor a widow.
What is she, then?
Well, I think she's an orphan, like me.
Oh.
But very wealthy. Oh, very wealthy. I wish you could see her in her home one day. Wonderful pictures and furniture and brocades and cushions. Cushions on the floor, my friend, on the floor.
Yes, that's so.
And her stockings. You should see her stockings, silk woven, fine as a cobweb.
Yeah, she's obviously an actress.
Now, why should you think evil of someone you've never met? Actress. I guarantee she's a woman with no accomplishments whatever of the great world. Yes, I have seen a middle-aged man at her house several times who wears the rosette of the Legion of Honor.
Oh, really?
Yes, a most distinguished-looking man. His name is Castelbanac.
Sounds like a thief.
Oh, he's not, not at all. He's a member of the municipal council. No doubt a friend of her father's.
No doubt.
But here is the curious thing. I don't know whether it's the surroundings or the scent she uses or what it is. I only know that every time I have spoken to her, I have never known what I have said.
At the time or afterwards?
Either.
Have you declared your passion?
Well, I hinted at my passion rather than declared it.
Wasn't that a little backward?
Oh, no, no, really. After all, she's a most elegant young lady, and I'm merely the tutor of her nephew. As a teacher yourself, you must realize it's a most trying situation.
Yes, true, true. Well, however you ought to be getting to work.
Getting to work?
Yes, preparing the ground. Now, for example, by a significant look whenever you meet her. You know, the eyes half shut, the piercing gaze.
You think that's a good thing to do?
It was irresistible. Then you approach her. Lower your voice. Then... go ahead.
Go ahead? How quiet?
Oh, force her to look into your eyes, and when she does, see that she reads their unthinkable things.
Oh. Should I really try that?
Then you have reached the moment to be firm. Then you kiss her.
A kiss?
On the mouth.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, 15 times, several women.
Well... that's very interesting indeed.
Did you say she was coming here after lunch?
Yes, yes. She said she was going to come and look around the school. At the end of my lesson to little Gaston the other afternoon, she said that.
Oh. Well, you better finish eating that custard then.
Oh, yes, yes, I should say. Custard, is it? Why, yes. So it is.
Monsieur Topaz, there you are. Good afternoon.
Why, good afternoon, Madame Courtois. I was just coming along the hall to look for you.
Monsieur Lariboucheon has been taking me around.
Well, it is good to see you, Madame.
I wanted to have a look at the school before seeing the headmaster. Frankly, my dear Monsieur Topaz, it's not at all what I imagined it would be.
Oh, dear, you mean you don't think it's a very nice school?
I think you are a very nice master. But the school seems to me to fall considerably below your standard.
Oh, dear, I take it you will not send your nephew here?
I should be loath to shut up any child here. I hope my decision will not do you any harm personally.
Oh, no, no, madame. No harm, really.
Now, as to Gaston, can you arrange to give him 2 hours a day at my house from now on?
2 hours? Well, unfortunately, that is impossible, madame. My work here would not allow the time.
Oh. Very well, we shall have to be content with 1 hour as at present.
Ah, I have found you at last, Monsieur Topaz. Lariboucheon told me you had a guest.
Monsieur, will you do me the honor of presenting me?
Yes, indeed. Madame Coulard, may I have the honor to present Monsieur Mouche, our headmaster?
Enchanted, madame.
How do you do? Monsieur Topaz has perhaps mentioned to you an idea I had?
He has indeed, madame.
At present, it's still, of course, an idea, but I have a nephew.
Dear little chap.
Oh? Do you know him?
Oh, no. Monsieur Topaz has often mentioned him to me.
At the suggestion of Monsieur Topaz, I thought of sending him here.
It was a wise thought, madame.
I've not, however, quite made up my mind. The child is delicate, and I wanted first to ask a doctor whether it would be safe to send him to a boarding school.
If you will allow me to say so, we make a specialty here of sickly children. 9 out of 10 of my pupils have something the matter with them.
That's very interesting. I'll let you know one way or another in a few days.
Whichever way you may decide, madame. I shall always be grateful to Monsieur Topaz, who has given me the opportunity of meeting you.
Goodbye, Monsieur Topaz.
Goodbye, madame.
Goodbye, madame.
I shall expect you at 5, Monsieur Topaz.
At 5, madame. Topaz, we have another visitor this afternoon. May I introduce the Baroness Peter Vignol?
Oh, how do you do?
The Baroness wishes to inquire of your opinion on the work of her son Agenor, Monsieur Topaz.
Yes. Monsieur Topaz, I have just received a report for the term on my son. I have it here in my handbag, and frankly, I have not dared show it to his father. Here you are, look.
And my dear Topaz, I must remind you that the Baroness has no less than 3 children in our school, not to mention 3 others not in our school. I consider myself under great personal obligation to her and should be extremely surprised if your report was not a mistake.
Oh dear, well, I don't understand, I'm sure. These are certainly the marks I gave to the boy.
Let me see it again. Look, French, 0. Algebra, 0. History, 0. Ethics, 0.
Look well, Monsieur Topaz.
But there is nothing to look at. They're all 0. I will show you my notebook.
Listen to me, my friend. Anyone can make a mistake. Will you be good enough to look over this child's marks again?
Well, certainly. It won't take a minute.
I wonder, madame, will you be seeing your friend, the president of the academy, again?
Oh, I am seeing him on Wednesday. He is dining with me. He is a very old friend of my husband's, you know.
Yes, I know. I believe also he admires my friend, Monsieur Topaz. But somehow I don't know why he has hesitated to award him his degree in moral philosophy this year.
Ah, really? I must find out about that. I am sure I shall discover it was a mistake and that Monsieur Topaz shall have his degree.
You hear, Monsieur Topaz? The Baroness promises you shall have your degree next year.
Oh, well, that would be a great joy to me, madame. My degree in moral philosophy is my greatest ambition. I hope your prophecy is correct.
Good. And now have you found your mistake?
Well, I assure you no mistake is possible. Look, he's bottom in everything. He's bottom. Look here. Only the day before yesterday, another one. Mathematics. You see for yourself. Peter Vignol, bottom.
And why exactly was my son bottom?
Yes, why was he bottom?
My son was bottom because the administration of your class is dishonest.
Dishonest? Oh, really? That's serious.
Oh, dear, this is the first time my integrity has ever been questioned.
It is impossible that I could ever admit to my husband that his son could be bottom.
Madame, if you will allow me, I will try to explain it to you.
Well, I'm listening, monsieur.
You see, this child is a growing boy.
True.
He has reached an age when he oscillates between 2 characteristic moods.
Well, need we go into that?
Oh, yes. It's quite a revelation, headmaster. You see, at certain times, he chatters and jingles coins in his pocket. At other times, he giggles or gibbers without cause and throws stink bombs. That is what I call the active mood. The other mood is no less clear, a sort of depression. At those moments, he looks at me with a kind of thick, half-imbecile expression. And he appears to be listening very attentively, and his eyes are wide open. Actually, madame, he sleeps.
He sleeps?
That's strange. You say he sleeps?
If I ask him a question suddenly, he falls off his seat.
He falls off his seat, madame.
I have met a lot of idiots, but never have I been so insulted.
But, madame...
A miserable teacher who dares to criticize the Peter Vignol.
Monsieur Topaz, it is unbelievable.
A half-starved wretch, scavenging for private lessons and academic degrees.
Oh, but I spoke in all sincerity.
Dear madame, madame la baronne.
Monsieur Mouche, If this professional libeler stays here any longer, my three sons shall leave this term. And as to this slanderous, irresponsible report, there, there, there. Gentlemen.
Madame! So fast, you are a fool!
Oh, dear, I don't know what to say.
Well, I have something to say. You announce frivolously the arrival of a new pupil who does not arrive, and now you have stupidly refused to acknowledge a transparent mistake. You have falsified your papers.
Oh, please, headmaster.
Say nothing more to me. Today you go. You are relieved of your duties in this school. You are sacked. Fired now, today!
Oh,
And furthermore, I shall withdraw my recommendation for your degree of moral philosophy.
Is that all, headmaster?
That is all. You may consider this final.
Then I should go?
Yes, go, go!
Yes. Yes, I'm going.
My dear Susie, you must think I'm made of money.
Instead of talking like a municipal councillor, my friend, perhaps you'll give me a light for this cigarette.
Oh, 100,000 francs is not nonsense. I can't think what you do with all your money.
My dear Ferdy, I have a great many expenses. This month I'm sending Gaston, my young nephew, to boarding school. Naturally, it has to be the best.
Oh, what's the matter with his having that tutor, Monsieur Topaz? I thought you were satisfied with him.
I am, but he can't spare enough time. He's coming for the last lesson today. But that's beside the point. Unless I get 100,000 francs, I might easily be overcome by moral scruples. It would be awkward for you if I were to tell the municipal council that for years you've been amassing a fortune by persuading them to accept agreements with a dummy contractor who's really yourself.
What's this? You call Roger de Berville a dummy contractor? Oh, you know very well he exists. Oh, come now, my dear. Be reasonable. Oh, 100,000 francs. Oh, after all, honor among thieves.
Ferdy, you're wasting your time.
Well, if you must know, I simply haven't got it. There.
Haven't got it? Why, the turnover on those street cleaning machines alone will amount to nearly 1,000,000 francs. Now, don't let's argue. The issue's really quite simple. Ferdy, yes or no?
Yes.
Monsieur Roger de Berville is here, madame.
Ah, Roger.
Ask him to wait a moment, Morgan.
Very good, madame.
Why is Roger coming here?
I asked him to.
Some new business?
No, it's about the street cleaning machines.
Oh, but surely that's all settled.
Settled, but not yet signed, my dear.
Why isn't it signed?
Oh, Roger hasn't been able to sign anything. He had an accident and his arm's been in a sling for a fortnight.
All right, you can come in, but keep your eyes open. Roger, come in, will you?
Good afternoon, madame. Monsieur, how are you?
Very well. And you?
Much better, thank you.
Ah, then your arm's all right again.
Almost.
Good.
You can sign the papers?
I hope so.
Ah, then we can go into the office immediately and complete this little formality.
After you. No, after you.
No, I insist, monsieur. I'll see you presently, Susie.
Monsieur Topaz is here, madame. He would like to talk to you, if it is convenient.
Oh, ask him to come in.
Madame.
Good afternoon, Monsieur Topaz.
Forgive me, madame.
Won't you sit down?
It's charming of you to let me bother you.
Not at all.
But this morning you asked if I could give young Gaston 2 hours a day instead of one. If you still wish it, I am now able to do so.
Oh, that would have been nice, but unfortunately I just had a letter from Gaston's father saying that he's coming tomorrow to take the child away with him. What a shame.
Oh, dear, I see. Well, madame, I suppose that's the end of our association.
I'm terribly sorry, but I thought you said this morning that you hadn't the time.
Yes, that was true this morning, but since then I have acquired more leisure.
You mean the headmaster has reduced your hours of labor?
Yes, madame. In point of fact, he has reduced them to zero.
Oh, surely the headmaster doesn't pay you for doing nothing.
Oh, no, madame. He has reduced my salary to the same proportion.
You mean he's dismissed you?
Thank you, madame. That was the word I was feeling for.
Believe me, I'm really sorry. I don't think Monsieur Mouche knows a good man when he sees one.
Well, you're very kind, madame. Shall I give young Gaston one last lesson?
Yes, do, if you can be bothered with it. And in the meantime, if I run across anyone who's looking for a tutor, I'll make sure they get in touch with you.
Thank you, madame. I shall give young Gaston a little dictation on the subject of the farewells.
Thank you.
5 weeks, our dear friend de Berville here has been unable to use his arm and consequently unable to sign his name. And now today, his poor arm is much better. But...
You needn't labor the point, Ferdy. Roger's demanded more money, right?
He's asking for 100,000 francs.
Now, I've been offered 25,000.
Why are you asking for 100,000, Roger, when up to now your demands have been so much more modest? On that school radiator business, you had 5%.
True, I had 5%. But if you will allow me to say so, I was an ignoramus.
An ignoramus who pocketed 45,000 francs.
While you pocketed 85,000.
Am I the municipal council or are you? Would the council ever have voted for radiators in the schools if it hadn't been for me?
Never.
Never in the world. And as for you, my friend, you didn't even know what radiators were. In your report, you wrote gladiators twice.
I don't want to argue with you. 100,000... and I will sign. Otherwise, I'm going.
Well, clear out, then, and good riddance.
Monsieur, perhaps in your family one may clear out. In mine, one dignifiedly takes one's leave. Good afternoon, madame. Monsieur.
Oh, insolent blackguard.
You should have been warned by that convenient bad arm of his.
Oh, I'm too simple. I'm really too simple. Other people's dirty tricks always surprise me.
You'll have to find someone else to act as your dummy now. What about Charles Faubert?
Faubert? Splendid, an excellent fellow. No.
What?
I forgot. He's in prison.
What for?
No, that's sewer business.
How stupid. What we have to find is someone who does dishonest things honestly.
Exactly.
Ferdy, if I found someone, how much would you give him?
I'd go to 50,000 on the street cleaning machinery deal.
And if he accepted less, would you give me the difference?
Oh, I don't see why not. Why? Have you someone in mind?
Yes. Topaz.
Topaz?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Topaz, I present Monsieur Castel.
How do you do?
I've just been speaking with Monsieur Castel here about you, and he's very anxious to do something for you if he can.
That's very kind of you, sir.
Oh, Mr. Tolo, old fellow.
Tell me, are you particularly anxious to go on teaching?
Why, yes, of course, madame. That's my profession.
May I ask, how much could you earn teaching?
Oh, anything up to 1,200 francs.
A week?
A week? That's very amusing, monsieur. No, unfortunately, a month.
The position which Monsieur Castel had in mind for you would enable you to earn more.
Mm-hmm. A fixed salary plus a small commission on each deal would average you 2,000 a month, Monsieur Topaz.
A month? 2,000 a month for me?
For you?
Well, what would I have to teach for that?
You would have to learn, monsieur, not teach. Have any family?
Alas, no. I'm an orphan.
That is to say, of course, I'm very sorry, but it's fate, you know. And women. What about women?
Women, monsieur?
You have some wife or sweetheart?
No, monsieur. No wife, no. Nor sweetheart.
Oh, then with who do you usually associate?
Well, with my school colleagues. Sometimes I see an old army fan. He's a waiter in a cafe now.
Well, I shall ask you to see as little as possible of those good people. And you will have to live here, of course.
Here?
Do you mind, Monsieur Topaz?
Oh, no, madame, but what would I have to do?
Oh, my dear Topaz, if you will permit me so to address you, this is the situation. I am starting a new business agency, and you will be its director.
Oh, but, monsieur, director directs. Am I able to direct?
And why not?
Well, outside of a classroom, I'm not good at anything.
Oh, nonsense, my friend. You can sign your name, I imagine.
Naturally, I don't say it's a good signature, but it is difficult to imitate.
Then we can make use of our friend Topaz straight away. He can be a cleaning machine.
Oh, yes. Please do make use of me straight away. I don't say that I shall succeed at once, but I shall try. Madame, I shall try very hard.
Good. You sign this contract for the street cleaning machines while I sign a little check for you. One good signature deserves enough. There you are, Monsieur Topaz.
Oh, thank you, monsieur. Paid to the order of Albert Topaz, the sum of 5,000 francs? Why?
Oh, a month's salary in advance and your commission on the machines.
Oh, madame, you take me for a fool. But believe me, I'm not as simple as all that.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, it's clear even to me that this agency, these street cleaning machines, are just a cloak.
A cloak?
A cloak for what?
For doing me a charity.
Oh, my friend, you're wrong. I give you my word of honor, you can be of the greatest possible service to me. Now, just sign here. Sign Topaz, director.
Oh, it's too wonderful. Madame, it is with genuine gratitude and no small emotion that I herewith sign my name to this contract.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. Ah, there's a simple way of showing your gratitude, my dear director. That is, by never forgetting that in business, the one golden quality is discretion.
Just as for the doctor, yes, I shall not forget.
Good. Now, I've just time enough to register these papers. If you don't mind waiting for me, my dear director, we can have another talk.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Oh, Susie, my dear, will you come along with me?
Of course. Will you excuse me, Monsieur Tapin?
Indeed, madame.
No, we won't be long.
Yes, I'll just sit down here and catch my breath.
But can you tell me if Monsieur Castel is about?
Monsieur Castel?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm waiting for him myself. He'll be back quite soon, I think.
I take it, Monsieur, that you are a friend of his.
Well, I can't quite claim to be his friend yet. I'm merely his business partner.
Oh? Since when?
Oh, just a few minutes ago.
I see. I suppose you're mixed up in this business of the street cleaning machines.
Monsieur, in business, the golden rule is discretion. I do not know who you are.
My name is Roger de Berville, and I am well acquainted with the whole affair.
Is that so?
I know someone who'd actually have had your job if he'd been willing to work at sweatshop rates like you are doing.
Sweatshop rates? Monsieur, you do not understand at all.
Between ourselves, what's he paying you?
Well, that perhaps I can tell you since it concerns only myself. 5,000 francs.
You're joking.
Joking, yes. You'd think so, wouldn't you, really?
Now, come, my friend. In business, sometimes it does pay to give the impression that one is a bit of an idiot. But aren't you rather overdoing it?
Monsieur, perhaps this conversation had better cease. I prefer not to be called an idiot by strangers.
If Castell has let you take such a serious risk for a mere 5,000, he ought to be horsewhipped.
Monsieur, you seem to be accusing Monsieur Castell of dishonesty.
I'm accusing him of taking advantage of his municipal position to secure contracts and of supplying the goods himself at an outrageous profit under the cover of a dummy agency.
Oh, but that isn't honest. In fact, it's the most disgraceful form of robbery.
Exactly.
Well, can you give me proofs of all these charges you've made?
You can see for yourself. Go down the passage and enter the first room on the left. There you'll find a desk. On the desk there are various papers. Open a long yellow envelope that you will find in the left-hand corner of the desk near the wall.
Yes, and then?
Open it and read. That's all.
Ah, very good. I'll do it at once. But if you have lied to me about Monsieur Castel, I shall throw you out of this house.
Perfectly fair. I'll wait for you here. Yes, me.
Back again, eh? I see your arm is miraculously well. Where is Monsieur Topaz?
If he is the befuddled-looking gentleman who wasn't here when I arrived, then he's just stepped down the passage for a moment.
I see. And you, what are you doing here?
I came back to make my peace with Castel.
Nice of you, but I'm sure he's forgotten there ever was a quarrel.
Well, as you know, I could worry him with news items in the papers or anonymous letters, which might give his enemies something to work on. But I assure you I won't.
I shall try so hard to believe you.
What? You again, Roger?
Yes, but I was just leaving. Madame, monsieur, I bid you au revoir.
Oh, I never really liked Roger. I'm glad to be rid of him. Where's your Topaz?
Probably wandered off to see my nephew.
Well, for goodness sake, don't lose him. He's a gift from heaven.
You like him?
Like him? Oh, he's adorable. 1 degree stupider, and he'd be a moron. Ah, there you are, my friend.
Madame Courtois.
Yes, monsieur.
Do you know who Monsieur Castel is?
Who I am?
Do you know what I have just learned? Do you know, madame, that this man who enjoys your confidence and whom you honor with your friendship, that this man is a dishonest man?
I? Dishonest?
Monsieur Topaz, I don't think you know what you're saying.
Oh, on the contrary, I know only too well what I'm saying. Monsieur Castel is a professional grafter. There is only one place for grafters, and that is prison. I have the honor to bid you good day.
Where are you going?
To the public prosecutor.
Susie, do something.
Monsieur Topaz, just a moment. Ferdy, will you leave us alone for a little while? I may be able to explain things to Monsieur Topaz.
Probably. I speak French, English, German, and Spanish. But I doubt if I could make Monsieur Topaz understand me in any language. The language of the monkey house, of course, I have not yet mastered.
Monsieur Topaz, please. Do you want to ruin me?
Ruin you? Well, whatever happens to him, how can it affect you?
It will affect me.
Do you mean that you're his accomplice?
Not his accomplice, monsieur. His victim.
Oh, great goodness.
Let me tell you everything.
Oh, my dear, yes, of course.
Castel knew me as a child. He was a kind of financial advisor to my family. When I was left alone in the world, I put my whole fortune in his charge, and he undertook to invest it for me.
That rogue invests your money? Oh,
goodness, it would have been better to lose your right hand.
Much better, I agree. But alas, when I was old enough to understand, it was too late.
Why, it's never too late to mend.
You see, I've become a party to his intrigues. And who but you would believe that I didn't know what it was about?
Oh, my dear, yes, yes, of course.
Well, there's my whole miserable little story. Judge me, if you will.
Who am I to judge? All the same, it wasn't exactly kind knowing what you did to invite me into the same predicament.
Don't you understand why? Why I did it?
No.
What do you think a lonely woman does when she finds herself in the power of an unscrupulous brute? She looks for help, Topaz.
And you chose me?
From the first moment I saw you, I was struck by your forceful face. I thought I read in your eyes a promise of devotion. I felt if I only had a man like you near me, I should be guided, defended, perhaps even saved. Was I mistaken?
Oh, no, no, madame. Of course you weren't mistaken. What must I do? Tell me.
First of all, be silent. If you speak, I am ruined.
Yes, I shall be dumb.
Yes. And then you must stay near me.
I shall be at your elbow.
Also, you must regain the confidence of Castel. Prove your devotion to him until you find his weak spot. Then, without touching me, you can strike.
Madame, you are asking a great deal of me. More, perhaps, than you know. You see, you are asking me to become the accomplice of a cheat, to abandon all my most cherished principles.
You mean you don't think you can do it?
Oh, yes, 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 I can do it. I'm going to do it. I promise faithfully that I will do it. Because, you see, forgive me for mentioning it, madame, I love you.
Topaz!
Have I offended you, madame?
Please.
Well, I know that I haven't known you long. I suppose it seems absurd, but really, I mean it. I love you.
You love me?
Yes.
Don't talk like that. Don't look at me like that. You're a fool. You're a fool, Topaz. You're the biggest fool I've ever met. But don't go away. Just be dumb. Stay at my elbow.
This is Studio One at CBS, presenting as its second broadcast in a new series of hour-length dramas, Topaz, by Marcel Pagnol and Ben Levy. The story will resume after a pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Second broadcast of Studio One, Columbia's new hour-length dramatic series. We continue the story of Topaz.
Good afternoon, Monsieur Topaz. How are you?
As well as ever, thank you, Madame Courtois.
Where are you dining tonight?
In my room.
Alone?
Alone, Madame.
Won't you dine with me?
If you would excuse me, madame, I would prefer to dine alone.
There's something the matter, isn't there? Do tell me what it is.
Nothing, madame. I assure you, nothing.
Now, please don't fence with me. Surely you know I'm your friend. What's wrong?
Merely this, madame. I know everything. 42 days ago, I came to this house. 23 days ago, I realized that you were making a fool of me. On Friday, the 13th of April, at 7 in the evening, I went to your house for dinner. I was waiting in the little drawing room when I overheard a conversation that was for me... very disagreeable.
About yourself?
Monsieur Castel was saying, darling, why did you have to invite that prize ass to dinner? And you replied, because he is useful, and useful people should not be ignored.
Of course I did. Wasn't that the only way for me to answer Ferdinand?
I was the prize ass. But I didn't mind that so much as his use of the word darling.
You've heard him use that word to me before?
Never before.
Well, Topaz, it all goes to show once more how little is to be gained by listening at doors.
Yes, but for you, I might still be happy in my own profession. I might even have achieved the height of my ambition, my degree in moral philosophy. But through you, I find myself in this nightmare of a situation.
You accepted the position with your eyes open.
Yes, but I wake up at night screaming while thousands of street cleaning machines come bearing down relentlessly upon me. And the giant sweepers whisper in chorus, Topaz the crook, Topaz the crook.
You brood too much, my friend. But you know, I'm glad you've learned the truth. I knew you'd have to sometimes, and I used to wonder what you'd do.
And now you've seen what I've done. I've got thinner. I've lost weight. I love you very much. Do you think...
No. Even if I wanted to, I shouldn't let myself love you.
Why?
Because you're timid, weak, credulous. I don't want a man who has to be nursed and wheedled and hoodwinked through life. I want one who's strong enough to protect me. You see, I'm tired of fighting my own battles. I want someone who can fight them for me.
Oh, well, if you really knew me, you wouldn't think I was so weak. I'm firmer than you think. I believe I shall tell you something I had intended to keep to myself. Something...
Good afternoon, my dear Topaz. Susie?
Hello, Freddy.
Good afternoon, Monsieur.
Topaz, Monsieur Rebizoulet is coming this afternoon. And what's more, you're going to deal with him yourself.
Is it a complicated business?
Oh, on the contrary. It is the first case you'll have to tackle on your own, and therefore it's an extremely easy one. Monsieur Rebizoulet is the proprietor of the Swiss Grill, that excellent restaurant in the Rue du Vaux.
Oh, yes.
Very well. Last year, our city sanitary department erected a garbage disposal unit right in front of the restaurant. Now, as summer comes along and the sun gets hotter, there is an effect on the local atmospheric conditions in the immediate vicinity that is far from agreeable.
Is there?
In short, it makes the terrace of the Swiss Grill quite uninhabitable. The result is that Monsieur Rebizoulet's clients stay away. And this afternoon, therefore, he has come to ask us to have the objectionable thing removed.
Well, I should think so.
I told him I hadn't the time to see about it personally, but if he chose to speak to you, the unit would be removed. You will charge him 10,000 francs.
Oh, but, well, how can I make such a charge seem plausible?
You haven't got to make it seem plausible. All you've got to do is ask for it. Then I shall have the said nuisance dismantled and set up again opposite the Café Bertillon.
Yes, but what will Monsieur Bertillon have to say about that?
Exactly the same thing as Monsieur Rebizoulet. And the town is full of cafes. Amusing, isn't it?
Yes, monsieur.
Can't you laugh?
Yeah, Monsieur Castel, is it absolutely essential that I should receive Monsieur Rebizoulet?
Quite essential. You've been here nearly 2 months now, and it's high time you started taking an active part in things. I want you to develop into my assistant as well as my dummy.
You're very flattering, monsieur.
Perhaps. Well, I'm going to leave you two. I've got work to do. Remember, Topaz, 10,000 from Rebizoulet.
Madame, I was just going to tell you something when Monsieur Castel came in. Something I've been hiding from you both.
Oh, what have you been hiding from us, Topaz?
Certain very clear evidence that I have acquired. Evidence which shows that the police are on our tracks.
The police?
Yes, it's true, madame. Let me read this article to you. It's in this morning's edition of the Public Conscience. Headline... Scandal at the town hall. It has come to the notice of the public conscience that there has been very serious corruption practiced recently in connection with a certain municipal contract. The dummy in this disreputable business is a miserable school teacher who was lately dismissed from his post. At the proper time, the public conscience will publish all relevant details.
You haven't mentioned this to Ferdy?
No, madame.
But how do they know what we've been up to? Must have been Roger de Berville.
What does it matter?
I've got to tell Ferdy about this at once.
I have the pleasure, I think, of addressing Monsieur Topaz himself.
How did you get into my office?
That is of no consequence. I can perhaps do something for you.
You will forgive me, monsieur. I don't even know who you are.
My name, that hardly matters. Let us come to the point. You will certainly have read in one of our most important morning papers a rather strongly worded item relating to certain business deals that you've been negotiating recently.
You mean the one containing a reference to a... to a school teacher?
That is the one, monsieur.
Yes, well, naturally I realized that the item was... probably intended to refer to me.
And it is true, is it not, that you have been supplying the town with elaborate street cleaning machines called Topaz Pattern Sweepers?
Yes.
And that in supplying these machines, you are merely acting as a dummy for Monsieur Castel?
Yes.
The editor of the Public Conscience has himself made some very searching inquiries into the business, and in tomorrow's issue, he is proposing to reveal the whole case in detail to his readers.
Oh, yes, yes?
I brought you a proof copy of his article. It seemed only fair.
Oh, yes, yes. The Topaz scandal.
Four columns of irrefutable proof, you see. By tomorrow morning, 500,000 copies of that paper will be on the streets.
And with my photograph, too. My photograph.
And such a bad photograph.
Oh, yes, dreadful. Well, it's very kind of you, monsieur, to have warned me, although I can't see that it will help me much. Goodbye, monsieur.
Is that all you have to say to me?
Well, what else can I say?
Perhaps I should have mentioned it before. But Monsieur Vernickel, the editor of the Public Conscience, is a great personal friend of mine. There is perhaps... perhaps some message you would like me to give him on your behalf?
Yes, monsieur, there is. You tell him that he is utterly and absolutely right. You tell him that what he proposes to do is no more than his duty.
But, my dear young friend, is that all you propose to do about him?
Well, what else can I do?
But my friend, think. Honor is the most precious of our possessions, and to retain it is worth any sacrifice. Don't you understand? There is only one thing left for you to do. Only one way out.
Oh, dear. And if I did make that sacrifice, could you assure me that this article would never appear?
I could give you my word of honor.
Then the sacrifice shall be made.
Good, good. I congratulate you.
I have the means at hand here in my drawer. Go tell your friend the editor that the thing shall soon be done.
No, monsieur, not soon. It must be done now, while I'm on the spot.
Now? At this moment?
Why not, as you have the means at hand? Surely the sooner the better.
You mean here in front of you?
Why, how else?
Oh, good gracious, man. Are you actually prepared to stand by and watch one of your fellow creatures take his own life?
Take his life? Well, what are you talking about?
Yes, with the revolver from my drawer here.
What is all this? What's going on here?
Oh, this gentleman appears to have discovered all about us and is now insisting that I should kill myself in front of his eyes.
What are you talking about, Topaz?
Well, it's not true. I wanted nothing of the kind. All I wanted...
Yes?
All I wanted
how
was...
How much?
25,000 francs.
What?
Be quiet, Topaz. Now, my ancient friend, tell me... Does Vernickel know that I have anything to do with this business?
Oh, yes, but he told me to apply to Monsieur Topaz.
Very wise of him. This isn't the first time you've practiced blackmail, is it, my friend?
Oh, come now, that isn't very polite. Do I work like an amateur? I started with the Panama Canal scandal.
You did? Oh, that was a fine piece of work.
It was indeed. Deputies, ministers, all sorts of people, including the very best. I did business with nearly 40 of them, and I never heard a single coarse word from start to finish. And when I tell you that in those days I was extremely delicate...
Yes, yes, yes. Listen to me now. I want to tell you a little story about Monsieur Vernickel.
Yes?
He was an apprentice in the town of Melun in 1894, yes?
Yes.
He ran away with his master's cash box and was eventually condemned by the High Court of Melun to, 13 months imprisonment. Yes?
Yes.
And it would be rather trying for Monsieur Vernickel if his present position in the... if these facts were dredged up and published with all the evidence which is in my position. Would it not, monsieur?
Yes.
Then the matter settled.
If I may say so, very well settled, too. My congratulations, Monsieur Castel. I always admire the professional touch. Meanwhile, I can but withdraw gracefully.
I agree.
Good day, gentlemen. Good day.
There, that's that. Do you see, Topaz?
Yes, yes, I see.
Whenever one of those turns up, just tell him to come back when I'm here.
Yes, I will. I will.
You know, Miss Topaz, Madame Courtoise is of the opinion that your sensitive nature is unsuited to this delicate work. Personally, I would put it more bluntly. You have neither nerve, strength, nor savoir-faire. In short, you are a jellyfish.
Oh, but that is where you and Madame are both wrong. You mistake my repression for weakness. You may not believe it, but I have great possibilities. With a little encouragement, I might easily become a positive volcano.
Yes, and with that end in view, I have obtained for you something that will, I believe, realize your very limited ambition. Here, take it. Your degree in moral philosophy.
My degree? But how in the world...
In this world, everything can be obtained by a little friendly pressure. The president of the academy is an old friend of mine. I dropped in to see him last night. One thing led to another, and I playfully reminded him of some useful indiscretions of which, by the merest chance, I had retained a written record. And after a very friendly chat, he sat down and wrote out your degree.
My degree? For exceptional services, the said Albert Topaz is hereby endowed with the degree of Doctor of Philosophy.
Oh, and that isn't all. I've got something else for you at the same time.
What? What is it?
The rosette of the Legion of Honor.
The rosette? Oh, let me see it. Give it to me. Oh, Albert Topaz, Doctor of Moral Philosophy, member of the Legion of Honor. Ah, that is something. Now I am someone. Now I can act. When Monsieur Repizolet arrives, show him right in. I'll deal with him.
And I've been waiting here in his office since 2, and I told him I was coming. Oh, really, Susie, since I gave him the Legion of Honor, this Topaz has become intolerable.
Certainly, if he's been detained somewhere, he might at least have telephoned. Just as a point of politeness to me.
I don't know about politeness to you, but I've come here by appointment to settle our monthly accounts. He probably doesn't even expect to see you here.
Why not? Topaz has been working for us for over a year now, and I've been present at every single monthly settlement.
Well, it wasn't necessary for you to be here today. As a matter of fact, I've been on the point of asking you not to wait any longer for him.
Oh? Why?
Simply because I think it injures your dignity to be kept hanging around waiting for such a man. Or any man, for that matter.
Dear Ferdy, you're always so thoughtful.
Well, how about it? Aren't you going?
No, my dear.
Why not?
I'm not such a fool.
What do you mean?
Do you really think I don't know you by now, Ferdy? I know just exactly what's in your mind. You thought you could keep this Moroccan business a secret, didn't you? A secret from me.
What Morocco business?
Oh, drop it, Ferdy. We've known each other too long.
I haven't the least idea what you're talking about.
Oh, the least idea how important a big land concession in Morocco might be. Land full of marble quarries, lead mines, cork forests, isn't it?
Well, that's the first I've heard about it. Where'd you get the idea from?
It'd be rather difficult not to get the idea, seeing that an attaché from the colonial office is here every morning. Do you imagine I haven't noticed that map over there on the wall with its elaborate blue pencil mark?
Map? Map? What map?
Oh, Ferdy, please.
But I swear to you, I've never seen that map before. I don't know a thing about any Moroccan business.
Then why are you so anxious I shouldn't be here when the accounts are being settled today?
All right, I'll tell you why. The fact is that Topaz has been getting so swollen-headed lately that he's inclined to presume. Mind you, I'm not the kind of man who's stupidly jealous of his own dignity. But the fact is that your presence does seem to lead him to overreach himself. If you stay, well, he might go a bit too far in provoking me, and I might be tempted to throw him out. After all, you know, it's your fault.
My fault?
Yes, you taught him to eat.
My dear, I've invited him to dinner a few times, that's all.
A few times, at least twice a week. It's the same old story, like my mother's chimpanzee.
Your mother's chimpanzee, Ferdy?
Yes. When he first came to the house, he was half-starved, miserable, and scared to death. A more affectionate little creature I never saw in my life. Then they gave him Brazil nuts, peanuts, walnuts, and coconuts. They stuffed him full of bananas. And what was the result?
I don't know, Ferdy. What was the result?
He became as strong as a boxer and smashed the housemaid's jaw.
Oh, I'm glad you're not a housemaid, Ferdy.
Oh, don't be irritating, I beg of you. You just wait. Monsieur Albert Topaz is going to hear something from me this time, I can tell you. Where is he?
Oh, patience, Ferdy, patience. Whatever's keeping him must be very interesting.
Monsieur Topaz is here.
At last.
Ah, hello, Susie. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but I simply had to stay and watch my horse win the third race, which he did in excellent style, by the way.
Congratulations.
Now, look here.
Just a minute. I must speak to my secretary.
Yes, Monsieur Topaz. Will you take the evening mail now, Monsieur Topaz?
No, later. Leave it with me. What appointments have I left for today?
At 4:30, Monsieur Duhamel, Minister for the Colonies. At 5 o'clock...
Transfer any other appointments to tomorrow. I'll see Monsieur Duhamel. That's important. You may sit down, Castel. Anything else, mademoiselle?
Your trainer telephoned and said he had forgotten to ask you if you intend to enter a horse at Longchamp on the 17th.
Ah, tell him yes, but scratch the entry for the English Derby. We're not quite ready for that yet.
Oh, very good, monsieur.
And telephone the National Bank. Tell the manager I want to see him here tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Yes, monsieur.
Get my broker at 9 o'clock. Yes. I'm dining with Judge Lenoir. I should be at his house at 11:30 this evening. If anything of importance comes up, you can phone me there.
Yes,
I will look through my mail after I have seen the Minister for the Colonies. That's all.
Thank you, monsieur.
Now, what can I do for you? I regret that my time is limited.
I've come to settle the accounts for the month of September.
Oh, yes, yes. Won't that be rather dull for you, madame? I think you might prefer to read a magazine. There are lots over there on the table.
Thank you.
Now, my friend, figures.
Yes, let's deal with the figures first. I shall have something to say to you afterwards.
Good, good. I shall be delighted to listen. Now, let me see. For the month of September, I owe you the sum of 65,347 francs. Agreed?
Yes, that's exactly what I make.
The Morocco business included?
Yes. What is all this about Morocco?
Morocco? Oh, that's a personal matter.
What do you mean by personal?
I mean that it's none of your business.
Not my business, eh? What exactly do you mean by that?
Which of those very simple words do you find it hard to understand? Cigarette?
No.
Now listen, Ferdy. I want to tell you something. In the last 6 months, this agency, with my help, has brought you in a clear profit of 250,000 francs.
which proves that even if it were to cease operations today, you would have done very well out of it.
And why should it cease operations today?
Because I have decided to keep this business to myself in future, and from now on, this office belongs to me.
What?
Any profits will be mine, and mine alone. And if I should have to do business with you again, I shall no longer do it for a commission of 6%.
You mean that you propose to appropriate this agency entirely?
I do. The agency bears my name, the lease is my name, and I am legally in possession.
But it would be daylight robbery.
In that case, perhaps you would like to appeal to the court.
Listen, you, I've met a good many scoundrels in my time, but never before have I come across one as blatant and unscrupulous as you.
My friend, I am quite unmoved by your flattery.
Oh, I shall burst. I know it any minute now. I shall burst.
In the circumstances, is that all you have to say, Freddy?
In the circumstances, I'm afraid that's all he can say.
Listen. Look here, Alfred, old boy.
My name is Albert.
Albert. I know very well you haven't meant any of this. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 10%.
I'm sorry, it wouldn't pay me. Besides, I've been watching you at work very closely for some time now, and frankly, I've been disappointed. You're a crook, I grant you, but in no sense a great crook. Your ideas lack vision, lack breadth. If I may say so, you will never have real imagination. Stick to your cheap politics, Ferdy.
Susie, what did I tell you? My mother's chimpanzee all over again.
No good appealing to me, Ferdy. I can't help you.
Topaz, you're a bandit.
I agree.
You're a... Oh.
Ferdy, dear, even in vituperation, you're falling a little short of my expectations.
Oh, you shut up. I'm not at all sure that you're not his accomplice.
You know perfectly well I'm not.
Quietly.
I don't know anything of the kind, though goodness knows I've made enough money for you in the last 2 years to pay at least for your loyalty.
You're a vulgar creature, aren't you, Ferdy?
Oh, vulgar, am I? Vulgar or no, you'd be in a pretty mess without me.
If you must shout, would you mind doing it in the outer office? I have work to do.
I'd like to remind you, my fine young lady, that when I first met you, you were wearing rabbit fur.
I haven't forgotten that.
And Lyle stockings, and I dare say cotton underwear.
No, never cotton.
And it was I, vulgar or no, that dragged you up from the gutter.
Monsieur, I cannot allow you to address a lady like that in my presence. Please leave my office.
Don't try riding the high horse with me, young man.
Do you hear me? Get out.
I've a good mind to break your neck.
Get out.
Yes, I will get out. Goodness knows I don't want to stay here any longer. But I shall come back, you beggar on horseback. At the moment, I prefer to laugh.
Well, I'm afraid he was rather rude to you, Susie.
Not for the first time.
No, I suppose not. But now that he's resigned from this agency, you won't be subjected to that kind of thing anymore.
You certainly have changed, Topaz.
For the good?
For your good, I suppose. Not for mine.
How's that?
Well, you mustn't forget I had an interest in the agency, too. In robbing Ferdy, you're robbing me. I used to get 8% on the turnover.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, it would be a pity to sacrifice that 8%.
I agree.
Then why don't you keep it?
I don't know the conditions yet.
Well, I owe a good deal to you, Susie. Especially in the way of advice. And, you see, I still lack something.
What?
The outward and visible sign of success, to wit, the constant company of a lovely woman. A wife. I particularly want your advice on the choice I have made in that connection.
If your choice is already made, perhaps it's rather late to consult me about it. Who is she?
Guess.
Do I know her?
Very well.
Is she pretty?
Adorably. And what an instinct for clothes. The dress she wore yesterday was faultless.
Are you sure that she, in her turn, takes you quite seriously?
Well, possibly not. Who knows?
It might be, for instance, that she looks upon you as a man without a future.
Oh, she would be wrong.
All the same, my advice is that you should prove yourself a little more before approaching her.
Well, I propose for once to disregard your advice.
Very well. But I've warned you.
Susie, will you turn around? Won't you turn around and look at me? Susie, I love you. Won't you say something?
What would you like me to say?
I should like you to say, I love you too, Topaz.
I love you too, Topaz.
Excuse me, Monsieur Topaz, but Monsieur Duhamel is here.
Who?
Monsieur Duhamel, the minister for the colonies.
Oh, yes, yes. Ask him if he'll be good enough to wait. I shall only keep him a minute. I'll ring when I'm ready.
Very good, monsieur.
Great men of business don't waste their time on women.
Oh, that's a profound mistake. They do. Besides, this is no waste of time. You do love me, don't you?
Topaz, darling, what are you looking at me like that for?
What do you see in my eyes?
Why, a smile, a sort of smile.
Do you not read in my eyes unthinkable things?
No, darling, no. No, I don't.
Oh. Oh, well, then, Susie, I have reached the moment to be firm.
Of course you have, darling.
Yes.
This is when you kiss me.
On the lips.
The Columbia Broadcasting System has brought you Studio One, a new series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. Tonight from Studio One, you have heard Fletcher Markle's script and production of Topaz by Marcel Pagnol and Ben Levy. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler.
Now, for your interest, may a producer introduce the principals of the cast. Featured in the title role tonight is the remarkable Monsieur Topaz,
Everett Sloan.
As Madame Susie Courtois?
Anne Burr.
As Monsieur Castel?
Sebastian Cabot.
As Roger de Berville?
Harold Durenforth.
And as the Baroness?
Hester Sundergaard.
Next Tuesday night from Studio One at CBS, Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People. A very powerful and penetrating story, arranged in contemporary terms especially for this series. Until next week then, and Ibsen's An Enemy of the People, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.